Well, hello, everyone. Again, it's just good to be back here with you, and I trust that you have had a glorious time experiencing glorious freedom as you abide in Christ. Let me remind you of this verse. We did a conference. It's on our aslanroars.org website. It doesn't cost anything. If you want to go back and watch the conference, it's called Glorious Freedom. I think that you will find great value and that you'll have some real encounters with the Lord and therefore some real breakthroughs in Him about how to enter into glorious freedom on the inside in the midst of a world full of chaos and a fallen world filled with fallen people, that there is a place for glorious freedom for the believer. And as a matter of fact, the whole world, the whole lost world, is anxiously longing to see the manifestation. They don't know that's what it is. They wouldn't know that, say that they're looking for Christ-like ones, but they're looking for some manifestation of humanity that is gloriously free and whole. And of course, we as believers in Christ are to be that. But let me just read these verses to you again from Romans chapter 8. I'm sure I read it to you sometime in the last couple of months. And I'll give you an amazing example of somebody walking, or amazing example of walking in glorious freedom. This is chapter 8 of Romans. It says, For if you are being led by the Spirit of God, then you are the sons of God. If you have not received a spirit of adoption leading to fear again, verse 6:15, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry, Abba, Father, the Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, heirs also, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ. That's an amazing statement, that you've been grafted into the very sonship of Jesus, and all that Jesus is, and all that Jesus has, you've been grafted into, and you get to participate in, not just one day when you go to heaven, but seated in heavenly places in Christ today as you walk in this fallen world. You can participate in all that He is and all that He has. Scripture says you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ. So he goes on, he says, in verse 19, for the anxious longing, this is a beautiful description of where the world is. Not beautiful in the sense that it's a good description, but it's an accurate one. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God, that the creation itself will also be set free one day from its slavery to corruption into the freedom, or the glorious freedom, of the children of God. And so a lot of the things we see happening in the world and the activity of the world and the way the world thinks is the consequence of an anxious longing. And when anxiety takes over, you find yourself doing, in our humanity, scrambling about even faster and faster, doing anything and everything because we're being driven by anxiety. So a lot of the issues, we've talked about this before, you know, transgender issues, identity things, is all part of this anxious longing, trying to find something that sticks, trying to find something that works. People do that with drugs, they do that with relationships, they do that with alcohol, they do that with all kind of power, you know, prestige, possessions, something that'll make them feel so fulfilled, so whole, that they're walking in glorious freedom. And so all the other stuff is the same thing. Again, the whole sexual identity issues. And so we're in that time where we're seeing it really show up, that kind of anxiety. It's going to be more so like that. And what they're really looking for, though they don't know that, is for Christians to reveal Christ-likeness coming forth from them. Christians manifesting wholeness. Christians manifesting glorious freedom so they can look back and look at that person and say, wow, that is a picture of a human being who's totally free and whole. I want to be like that. Let me give you an example. We talked about this last week. This actually wasn't the one that I was going to use today, but we'll do it. This is from Acts. Let me find out where I'm going with this. This is Acts chapter 16. This is when Paul is in Philippi, Paul and Silas. And they cast the demons out of this woman with the spirit of divination. And she was making money for people, for men, for people who owned her, by doing divinations for folks. And then Paul cast the spirit out of her, and she no longer could do that. And so a riot kind of rose up against Paul and Silas. And Paul and Silas were beaten badly, and they were thrown into jail. They were thrown into prison. Let me just read that part to you. Instead of me trying just to explain it. This is verse 23. I'll start with verse 22 of Acts 16. The crowd rose up together against them, and the chief magistrates tore their robes off of them and proceeded to order them to be beaten with rods. That is very painful. It leaves amazingly difficult bruises, deep bruises. It's very, very, very painful. And when they had inflicted many blows upon them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to guard them securely. And he, having received such a command, threw them into the inner prison and fastened their feet with stocks. But about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house was shaken. And immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's chains were unfastened. And when the jailer had been roused out of sleep and had seen the prison doors open, he drew a sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And he called for lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and after he fell down before them, and after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, you and your household." Now understand what's happening here is that, again, as I mentioned, they had been beaten badly with rods. So they were bruised, probably bleeding, in deep, deep pain. They were facing, possibly the next day, likely, going to be put to death. But you put in an inner prison means that you were put there because you were a threat to society. And so in great pain, in a situation that would be filled atmospherically with anxiety, don't know what to expect, don't know what humanity is going to do, broken humanity is going to do, to you, in response to you, what's coming next. Again, there it's at midnight, there's dark, there's not no electricity, of course. And you can imagine what a prison is like over there now in the Middle East. What is it be like 2,000 years ago? So probably bugs beyond imagination, rats, they're chained. And yet at midnight, in the darkest time, when it's the darkest, they begin to sing hymns and praises to God. Now, why were they doing that? How could they do that? Why weren't they complaining? Why weren't they, you know, woe is me, and oh God, please deliver us, and oh God, please help us, and fearful for their life? I mean, how easily do we get anxious? How easily do we get, you know, afraid and terrified? They weren't terrified. They weren't afraid. They weren't anxious. They were just Christians like you and I, but they weren't any of those things. There was no words of embitterment, you know, being bitter towards those who had harmed them. They didn't deserve to be beaten like that, but they were. They weren't screaming at the jailer, you know, about how unjust everything was, trying to defend themselves, all that kind of thing. Instead, they were singing praises to God. Why? Because Paul and Silas knew that they were in Christ. And Paul said to him, to live was Christ, to die was gain. They weren't fearful for their life. They didn't have a story independent from the story of Christ. They had been placed into Jesus, into his life and his story. and his life, Jesus's life, and Jesus's story was being lived out, being told through their, Paul and Silas's personal life and life story. They didn't have an independent story. They had an individual story. They didn't have an independent, they were in Christ, in union with him, seated in heavenly places. Paul acted like Jesus was winning because of what he believed. He was in Christ. And he was drawing for own and living from Christ. And Jesus doesn't get anxious. Jesus doesn't get angry. Jesus doesn't get bitter. Jesus doesn't whine. Jesus doesn't worry. Jesus isn't anxious and fearful. Jesus isn't terrified. And Christ was their life. And Christ was manifesting his life through them. And they were singing hymns and praises to God. And the context of that, and this is a really neat truth, a biblical truth. Whenever you abide in Christ like that, it releases God. It postures you for God to do holy magic in your life. Signs and wonders just happen. You know, when you're abiding and when you've entered into his rest in a situation that you might be in. I don't know what situation you're in, but it can't be more difficult or painful than this one. But they had entered into his rest. They were living from the faith of Jesus, and that it allows God to do kind of holy magic. And this earthquake happens, and the jailer is afraid because all the chains had come off, the doors of the prison had fallen down, and prisoners were escaped. He'd be held accountable for it. Was going to kill himself, and Paul then stopped and said, "Nobody's left." And when he saw Paul and he saw Silas, here are these men who had been totally beaten unfairly, no anger or bitterness or anxiety or fear, walking in the peace of God, manifesting Christ-likeness, the very peace of Christ, the very disposition of Christ, they were representing Jesus to this man. He didn't know that's who he was. He just saw something that was like he had never seen before. And when he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Don't think of that in terms of what you may have heard preachers say. He's not going, "Well, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven." And it had like they had shared with him the Romans map to heaven. He was saying, the word saved, as you know, is the word sozo, which means to be whole. And he saw them in their situation and in their circumstance manifesting a wholeness and a glorious freedom he had never seen and, like every other human being, had always longed for in his own life. And he was basically saying, "I want to be what you guys are. Whatever it is that you've got, I want to be whole like that. I want to be that free. There's something about you." Now, he'd known that they had been preaching about Jesus. He had heard about it, you know, because in Philippi. And he wanted what they had without even understanding what he was asking for, other than he wanted the kind of wholeness and glorious freedom they were walking in. Powerful to me. You see, the greatest testimony is not the words that we speak. We can talk about Jesus all the time. We can have all kind of apologetical plans and approaches to sharing the gospel. But the most powerful sermon about Jesus is a Christ-like life who's in this fallen world but manifests the disposition, the joy, the attitude, the likeness of Jesus, no matter what they're walking through. People see folks like that, they realize there is a glorious liberty that a human being can experience. That person is walking it out, and I want what they have. That's what God's looking for. And that's going to be the source of the revival that we're all believing for. That's going to be, the church is going to be the revival when the church begins to walk, when more and more Christians begin to manifest the glorious liberty of co-heirs with Christ. And then the world's going to turn to see this thing, this freedom, this normality, this holy other wholeness that we walk in, and they're going to say, I want what you have. I want to be free like you are. I want to be whole like you are. I want to be free from fear and anger and bitterness and resentment. I want to be free from anxiety and hatred. I want to be free and whole just like you are. That's, it's been credited to St. Francis of Xavier, who said that at all times preach the gospel and when necessary use words. I love that. My prayer for you as a believer is that you will discover the glorious liberty that Jesus Christ himself walks in. Because you've been grafted into him. You have been immersed into him. You have been woven into the fabric of his existence, his life, his wholeness, his glorious freedom, so that he may manifest that life through you. I pray that that's what you are stepping into, that you're longing for, because I can tell you this, if it's not your experience, if you'll just ask the Lord, Lord, show me what it means to be in Christ, and for Christ to be in me, and for Christ himself to live his life through me, and me experiencing all that he is and all that he has on a daily basis, God will show you. He will bring you into that breakthrough. I promise. He always answers that prayer. Okay, well, have a great day, rest of the day.